It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Talkin' Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling. We are talking Season 2, Episode 3, Jazza Gals. And of course, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, who not only is a proficient woodworker, but also is in his local Jazza Guys choir. Stuart, how are you?
I'm doing really good. Didn't even have to audition. I'm what's referred to as offer only these days. Such a professional.
So we're talking this episode, and I'm just so excited. I love this episode. I mean, again, I feel like I'm going to do this every single time we come back week after week, but season three is so fun. And the Jazza Gals feels like a marker, you know what I mean, Stuart, of like, oh, now you've seen this. Now you've seen Fold in the Cheese. Now you've seen the Jazza Gals.
Yeah. And it's nice to know that there is something going on outside of the Roses, like being here in the town and stuff, that the town is just going by and is going to continue on doing things without the Roses intervening or not, even though Moria is going to find a way of getting herself involved in it, no matter what they try and do. But I love the idea that Twyla, Jocelyn, Ronnie, the rest of them are all getting together and just having a sing song. It was really sweet.
Yeah. Well, they've sang in Central Park. I've friends on the brain. They've sang in Central Park, which is like no small feat. That's a big deal.
I know, right? I mean, it's far cry from Moira's kind of assumption that there's a bucket of shrimp in Times Square, which I thought was such a judgy comment. But yeah, that sounds like they're really kind of like not only into it, but they're actually not unsuccessful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all very talented.
Yeah.
So let's do a quick recap of the episode. Before we do, don't forget, you can find us everywhere at Talkin' Shit. If you want to watch us on YouTube, you can also do that. We're at Talkin' Shit. And if you want to send in feedback, we got so much feedback for this episode, and we absolutely love getting feedback. So make sure you email that in, podcast@talkinshit.com. All right, let's get jazzy. This episode finds Moira interested in Jocelyn's singing group, the Jazza Gals. And Moira incorrectly assumes the women have no talent and not so subtly brings it up to Jocelyn, who insists she must audition. Moira's audition is, as Jocelyn puts it, Jazzalyn. Oh, that would be a fun nickname. as Jocelyn puts it, her audition is different. Yeah. Meanwhile, Johnny's new workspace in Bob's garage brings its own challenges. Bob, of the famous Bob Jog, gets frustrated with Johnny when Johnny doesn't assist Bob's customers in Bob's absence. But Johnny doesn't know the first thing about cars. And then he accidentally sells Dick Simpson's car that was there just for a brake job. So, yeah, that's trouble. Alexis's relationship with Mutt isn't going as she expected it to when he wants space after she spends over a week with him at his barn. David's relationship with Mutt is thriving when Mutt helps him build a cedar chest to protect his sweaters from treacherous moths. There's a lot of Mutt this episode.
That was
the episode story.
I thought that this was a really well-rounded episode. We got like a lot of good story. It was a very Alexis light episode, but still she was there in kind of like in spirit, really, because she was lingering over the whole Mutt and David kind of conversation that was going on. But yeah, you're right, there's a lot of Mutt. How do you feel about that?
It could have been worse. It could have been worse, because at the very least, when Mutt's around this episode, like, he's with characters I like, and it's not the Mutt and Alexis show, you know what I mean? I don't mind him hanging out with David because David's using him to make him a cedar chest.
Yeah.
So at least he's useful, I guess.
I like the idea that we're kind of getting into, like, we've always said Mutt is a bit of a non-entity. He's boring, and there's not much to him. Well, we've seen him doing some woodworking before, admittedly in his living room, which is not the smartest thing in the world, but at least he's offering his services and is using like established character points, like to build something with David. I don't know. I'm clutching at straws here.
It's a reach. It's a reach. But we love really David. And I love, let's start with David's storyline, because he, I don't think this is the first time it's been mentioned that David has like a fear of moths or that he hates moths. And so this is consistent. He's getting frustrated because his knits are just getting torn apart by these treacherous moths. So he needs a chest and he decides he's just going to build one because there's some cedar planks hanging out around the back of the motel. And this is quite resourceful, I will say, of David. Mm-hmm. This is like out of the box for him. And again, we get like a very small amount of Stevie David content this episode. But what we do get is so good. Where she knows he can't build anything like this. Yeah. Do you need the cedar chest toolbox specifically? Just kills me.
I'm going to assume you're joking, but just in case, I'm going to ask about it.
Yeah.
I love David's self-belief that he sees a pile of cedar wood and it's like, yeah, I'll build a chest. It will look fantastic and it will be really functional, and has that kind of at least belief in himself at the beginning stage of it, not to kind of like poo-poo the idea. I see a lot of myself in David sometimes, because I am the kind of person that would look at a pile of wood and go, oh, I could build something. And then I'm there with a pile of wood in my living room going, what am I doing? Why? Please, someone help.
I mean, I understand where David's coming from, because theoretically, making a box is very simple. You know, it doesn't have that many sides. It's basically just a cube. And so if you just smash some wood together, theoretically, you could make yourself a chest. Did you ever do any sort of woodworking in school? Do they have that in the UK? Do you have to do woodworking?
Yeah, we did. We had it in as part of, it was a class that was like split. It was called design technology. So we had woodworking, textiles, food economics all thrown into one lesson, and we were like sparingly given like any real details on it. The woodworking that we did do was just tragic. It was just the worst. I remember we made like a CD rack.
A CD really, rack?
Yeah, which I've just realized dates me so much.
The children aren't even going to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're like, granddad, I mean, what's a CD?
You could have said cassette tape rack and that would have been way worse, so... You know,
what's a cassette tape, Jess?
Okay, stop it. Stop it. Anyone who's watching the video version can see who has more gray hairs between the two of us.
How dare you? Wow.
Yeah. But I had a similar course in middle school. I can't even remember what it was called. Was it just shop? I don't remember. I feel like that's what we called it, like shop class. Yeah. And we had options. I remember this was like, because my brother who had taken the course 4 years before me had the same options. It was like the same rotation of things you could build. Mm-hmm. So you could either build a shelf, a footstool sort of thing to step up to, you know, or a box. Any guesses on which one I made, Stuart?
The box?
I did make a box. Guess what? I still own it and I know where it is. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to brag. But I finished mine early. And so I ended up also carving my name into it and like painting my name. I know. I was very impressed with myself. I got a 99 because the teacher didn't give out 100s. Such a douchebag.
What's the point of having 100 if a teacher's not going to give out 100?
Thank you. So... Oh, just to say, I'm basically a woodworker, and basically I could do this project.
Sure. So what I'm actually hearing here, though, Jess, is not your kind of proficiency with woodworking, is more that you have something in common with Mart. And therefore you should kind of like Mart.
No. I'm upset. I'm actively upset right now. Absolutely not. No. Because unlike, I feel like Mutt fakes a lot of things. So I don't know. We have a theory that my husband sent in that I will read. And he says, I wouldn't trust a guy who was sawing wood in the middle of his house to help me build anything. Also, if his hands are so soft, as Alexis said in a prior episode, then Mutt is just a liar and doesn't actually work with his hands ever. And it's all just for appearances.
That's a good solid theory.
Yeah. Although we do see him like actually doing the work on the chest and we see the final product. It's a nice looking chest.
It is. You got to give Marty's props there. Like,
it even has it a, like a latch thing. Like, I forget what they're called, like a hinge thing. So at the top, mm-hmm. doesn't just fly back, you know?
Yeah, it's like kind of holding, make sure it doesn't go like all mm-hmm. over the place.
My box has one of those too. Not going to lie. It does.
Oh, well done.
It's just a chain, but it does the job, you know?
Yeah. Didn't see any engravings though. Didn't see.
No, exactly. Like a... Mutt. Yeah. Didn't have David Gosh. Written on it. Did it. So, but I like the storyline simply because I like the fact David is also me while measuring. I do use a measuring tape when I measure, unlike David, but it's just a shit show. It's like, let me just use tape and then we'll figure it out. I'm not good at measuring.
At least it's better than there's an old comedy sketch for Mr. Bean where he's like trying to measure up in his living room and he does the whole like hand symbol
thing.
And then tries mm-hmm. to like move it across the room like invariably and it goes like way off and stuff. At least he wasn't yeah. doing that. Like, I think using mask tape is kind of a way of doing it. But I love the fact that when Mark comes over and goes, well, do they have a measuring tape? Like, does Stevie have one that you could borrow? Mm-hmm. And you can see that David is like, I think has thought about it, but doesn't want to go back to Stevie and ask her again because he knows that she's just going to ride him hard like she did before, taking the piss out of him.
Well, especially because you could see how braggadocious he is when he does return and he's like a list of things he needs that are like yeah. very specific. And Stevie's a little shocked that like he knows any of those terms to begin with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I really like I like this storyline because not only do we get David taking advantage of Mutt, who's having a problem with Alexis, but David then also has these interactions with Stevie. So it's all just kind of works out. And then we get a beautiful chest at the end of it. So like the product is also beautiful.
Yeah. I also love the fact yes. that we finally got some David Stevie time without acknowledging the thing.
Yes,
like, this is the true return to like them being normal with each other as well. And Stevie just reading them for filth.
Yeah, exactly. I love the may the force be with you. It's a great line.
No relevance whatsoever unless I'm completely missing a joke there, but I loved it.
And anybody who was raised in any sort of Christian upbringing would know that there was the missing end of the joke, which is and also with you. But you don't get it, Stuart. You don't get it. Okay.
Whoosh.
This is going to be very like brief. They changed it since, but growing up, when I went to like Catholic church every once in a blue moon, you would have to do what they call like a peace be with you, which is what Stevie is saying here. And you shake people's hands. You basically shake people's hands of all around you in the pews. Right. And the retort. So you say peace be with you. And the person you're shaking, they say, and also with you.
Right.
Now Such they say, and with his spirit or something like that. But that was what they said back in the day. Anyway, I want to talk about Mutt and Alexis and the problems they're having. Because we find out from Mutt that she's basically been living with him since assuming they got together like right after the Ted breakup. She's been there for a week and a half and hasn't left.
I kind of saw this coming. Like, Alexis is the kind to jump into things like fully. I also think she might be hiding there a little bit as well, because Ted might do the whole like turning up with her things. Oh, I found this hair clip you left at mine. I just wanted to return it kind of thing. So maybe it's just easier and cleaner to hide at Mutt's because he's not going to turn up there. But also, like, she is that kind of like, I will just move in because it's much nicer than the motel, isn't it?
Well, I think the most fascinating thing about this is that Ted, we saw how quickly Ted moved and we were like, this is warp speed. Mm-hmm. Alexis is doing the same thing. Like, she's moving at warp speed. She's practically living with a guy that like she's barely even dating for like a week now. And I just find it so funny that like Ted would have loved this. Ted would have been like, you could stay at my place anytime you want, like make yourself comfortable. I'll clean you out a drawer. Like mm-hmm. here's a spot for your toothbrush. And Mutt is like, this is so much. Like I wasn't. Mutt is very much like a Twyla and I were sleeping together kind of sort of thing. He's not mm-hmm. into like defining the relationship and all of that stuff. So it's very overwhelming for him. And I find it very funny considering, you know, that Ted is the exact polar opposite in relation to like how committed they are in relationships.
Yeah, completely. And I love the fact that when it does come about that, like, kind of she does storm back, like, dragging the bag as well. Like, that she can't admit it. She can't admit that he doesn't want this, like, or doesn't want to see her as much as, obviously, she wants to see him as much, which for her is, like, such a kick in the, like, ego, right?
Especially because we know she looks down on him to a certain degree because he's from Schitt's Creek. Like, she was so hesitant to even have feelings for him, like, admit she had feelings for him because of where he comes from, and he lives in a barn and all these other things. My husband sent in a theory that I thought was kind of funny, and he asks, was Alexis manipulated by Mutt into thinking it was her own idea to leave, or was she lying to David to spare her own feelings of having basically been kicked out?
I think it's a great theory, but I like to think, I think that she is lying because she makes that slip up, doesn't she? Where it's like, yeah. Oh my God, is he breaking up with me? Is she breaking up with? It's just, oh no. Yeah. Like, she let that slip. And I think that, like, gives away everything. It's that she just can't admit fault. Like, she can't, she has to stay face.
Yeah, I love that too, especially because David is, like, needling her in such a way that, like, siblings do. This is why I love their relationship, because it feels very real to when you have a sibling. Yeah. Like, yes, you love each other because you're siblings and you kind of have to, but also you will just poke, and you know exactly which buttons to push. So yeah. I really loved that. With this all happening, right, Alexis returning to the motel after a week and a half at Mutt's, him being like, we need to pump the brakes a little bit. How are you feeling about the status of their, like, I guess we'll call it a relationship because, I don't know, seems like one?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm not here for it. I don't like how it started. They're setting healthy boundaries, so maybe that's a good thing. I can't see it lasting, though. I don't think I can see this being a long-term thing. I think this is perhaps a season two thing, but not going to go into a season three thing.
Yeah.
That's my theory, at least.
All right. Well, we'll leave that there with Alexis and Mutt and their woes. What do you want to talk about next? Do you want to do Jazzy Gals or do you want to do Johnny and Bob?
I think we have to acknowledge Johnny and Bob just to address the elephant in the room, which is your love for the Bob Jog. Mm-hmm. We got another one.
We got two of this. Did we get two this episode? We got two this episode, right?
Two. Ooh, one and a half, maybe.
One and a half.
Yeah. It's like two steps of a Bob Jog. Like, if that counts, do two steps count as a Bob Jog?
I mean, I don't know, because that's barely a trot even, you know?
A Bob trot.
The Bob trot, yeah. Obviously I understand people, no one should be on Bob's side, right? Like, I think we can very much easily say, no one should be on Bob's side here. You can't expect Johnny, who has no mechanical experience, who you said could just use this office space. He's not your employee, Bob. Like, you're not paying him. Like, you can't expect him to even look at some brakes or a motor or whatever the hell are in cars. Mm-hmm. You just can't expect that. Can you expect him to be like, oh, Bob will be right back? Maybe, sure, why not? But Bob, what? Can we have theories on where the hell Bob is going?
He doesn't have another job. Does he elsewhere? Like, we've not seen him.
Well, we know he's on the town council because we've seen him on the town council in season one.
Yes. So maybe that's it. I mean, at least he's got then an excuse. Like, he's off doing town council stuff. Or at least whether he's doing that or not is another thing entirely. Like, but so long as he's got the excuse, he can be like, yeah, I've been doing council stuff, Johnny. Get off my case. Like, I'm working two jobs here. You're working how many?
You're working zero. I think Bob feels like the type of guy, especially because, there are a few things that get under my skin more than people who say, like, when you're working and they're like, having fun yet? I can't with the having fun yet. And I really, really can't stand the, like, oh, you're working hard or hardly working? And he does it, but he even does it incorrectly, which I don't know if that makes it better or worse. But because of those, because of that thing, I feel like he's the type of guy who like loves small talk. So, because I think he comes back with like a bagel or something, right, in this episode. It wouldn't surprise me if he was like, oh, I'm just going to go over to Cafe Tropical and grab a bagel. And then he ends up chatting with some locals for like 30 minutes about the weather, about nothing, literally nothing. I just feel like that is Bob.
Yeah. And like the only other places we've seen him aside from this in town, at least, has been at Cafe Tropical. So like he clearly, I think, is probably going to cite like town council businesses to like where he's been. But he's just hanging out in the cafe and just chatting up a storm with everyone. Like, you can see when Johnny's trying to avoid him, like during the funeral last season, is that he can't help himself, but he has to talk to like people and stuff. Like, he's that person that you're like, oh god, Bob's here. Okay, I'm gonna have to devote like
he's
another
the regular
like 10
that you do the
of my life.
You do the like side thing of like, I don't see you. Yeah, that's Bob. But again, I know we don't like, listen, I'm not asking everyone to love Bob's personality. Okay. I understand. He's that annoying coworker. I get it. Who's like, oh, TGIF. Am I right? Happy Thursday. Happy Friday Eve. Friday Eve is that thing. You say it to me one more time, I will kill you. There used to be this person, as you can tell, I'm like scarred from working in an office for so many years of how many times I had to hear there was a person routinely every Thursday, she'd come in, happy Friday Eve, ooh, just like instantly instant anger. So I understand people not liking Bob. However, there is nothing that will stop my love for the Bob Jog, because it's just iconic. The idea that he is like, As you can tell, I'm an enthusiastic person, and he's so enthusiastic that he has to jog to get somewhere. What's that to love?
It doesn't even get there any faster. Like, it's just flat.
Just slow jog.
All it is. But I love your commitment to the Bob Jog that is being tested by all of the people that are watching along with us, who are expressing their distaste for Bob, I'll just say diplomatically, and just reminding you that he's not the best character.
No, he's not.
He's not at all.
He's not. I mean, yeah, not to dip too far into the feedback, but Todd said everything with Johnny and Bob is causing me physical pain. Aaron says, Jess, I'm sorry, but I don't like Bob or his jog. That I'm offended by, Aaron, because you can not like Bob, but the jog is iconic. Okay. It's just a fun character beat that someone has to jog everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see that in every show. I don't know.
I love it. Just telling the audience what they should like.
What else am I here for? But I, what do you think of the Dick Simpson of it all?
So here's the thing. Johnny's expressing that he doesn't know cars, that he doesn't feel as if he should be doing this. So why is he selling a car?
This seems
really cheap as well.
I think it was a pretty crappy car, but also, yeah, I feel like you're really, especially there couldn't have been any signage on it of like what Bob wanted for it, because it wasn't for sale. But even still, if something was for sale, I'd be worried about selling it for too low, you know what I mean? Like too little money. So, but I love how excited that Johnny gets about this. He's just like, oh yeah, I knew exactly what to do.
Hooked him in, played it cool, and you're like, oh gosh, you know that he loves this. And this is a credit to Bob, which I will say is, I think Bob has seen this in Johnny, is that Johnny has the capability of being a bit of a sleazy car salesman, like that he could sell anything to anyone, because that, I mean, Johnny isn't meant to be an accomplished businessman. Like, so he must have some skills that got him there in the first place. I don't think we're dealing with like a nepotism situation here with Johnny. Right. I think he is a self-made man. So I think that there is, at least Bob's like seeing that in him and is wanting to kind of like be a bit sleazy himself and use those skills for free. And
he does
the fact
say
that Johnny
the...
can't pull away from it, it's just like, it's indicative of that.
Yeah, I love the well, I gotta make money. I do have this free office space, you know. Bob can be really shady, which I mm-hmm. think is an underrated quality that people don't recognize in Bob. Bob is very shady, especially when Johnny can't get Dick Stinson's name correct. He's like, well, I don't care about Dick Stinson, but Dick Stinson doesn't have a car.
The joke when he was like, oh, it's like riding a bike, when he's talking about the car selling, it's like, well, funny you should say that, because Dick Stinson is going to be riding his bike until he can get the car back for him. And it was like, great joke for one mm-hmm. thing, but also extremely catty comment from Bob. Like, Bob isn't mm-hmm. really fixed on fixing the problem. He's about making Johnny feel bad for the problem first, which is a touch of just so funny.
It's just so good. I love their interaction. I know Todd hated it, but I love it. I think it's so cringy and awful and incredible, you know? And I know those things don't make a lot of sense, but it really is. It's just incredible TV.
I mean, I kind of like grew up watching The Office, and there is an element to that kind of cringe humor that you kind of have to lean into and appreciate sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it goes too far. I think we've made reference to Scott's Tots before, and I will make reference again. That is where it gets too bad. And thankfully, we're not in that realm just yet, but I think mm-hmm. certainly heading towards it perhaps a bit with Bob and Johnny.
Yeah, speaking of cringe, Moira. She just assumes that these women have no talent and need her. Because she's a trained vocalist. And I have a question, because I have no idea what Starlight Express is. And I don't know if I'm supposed to know.
Is this going to be added to your ongoing musical theater education, Jess?
Yeah, for those who don't know, I've been on a journey over the past like year or so of getting trained in musical theater. Because a friend of mine once told me I was uncultured. Which is kind of a fair assessment, because I didn't grow up watching any sort of musical theater. My family notoriously is not musical, like they're not a musical theater family. And I don't live near, I guess there is musical theater where I live, but it's not big. It's not like Broadway or something. You know, I don't live near like this massive city. So I just never really experienced it. So I've been watching a lot of musicals over the past year or so. But I've never even heard of Starlight Express.
Probably for the best. I mean, some people may critique me here, but it's an Andrew Lloyd Webber. I'm not a big Andrew Lloyd Webber fan. But it's a musical of its time. So it's all neon and they're on roller skates.
I want to see Moira doing that so bad.
This is why I was so excited when she mentioned it, because the idea of Moira in Starlight Express is just too funny. Like, I can't even find the words of how excited I would be to see her in Starlight Express. It would be so funny.
So what are some other things that have I seen any of Andrew Lloyd Webber's? I probably have, right? Any of his musicals?
Oh, crikey, we're gonna like really test my knowledge here. What have we seen that's Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Let me do a quick Google. Cats, I've seen. Cats, Against My Will.
Sadly. Yes.
Phantom of the Opera, apparently.
I was about to say Phantom. Yeah, Phantom's one.
Seen that. The Phantom of the Opera. That's the only part I remember.
God. thankfully we've avoided a lot of them that are Andrew Lloyd Webber's.
Wizard of Oz, apparently. Oh, there's a musical. I've not seen the musical. Well, I've seen the movie, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know, more on coming to mind. He had one that was recent, the Bad Cinderella one, which was over here in the UK. It kind of launched post-COVID, and it was doomed from the beginning, really. And notoriously, on the last show, he didn't turn up to it when it was closing and sent a note which basically threw the cast, the crew, all under the bus. And then proceeded to just relaunch it on Broadway. Yeah,
I have two more notes about him before we move on. One, people are gonna get mad if we probably don't mention Joseph's Technicolor Dreamcoat. I've not seen it, but I know that it's like a big one, so I felt the need to have to say it. The second thing I need to just note is that his eyes look kind of red and they scare me. the iris, the part that should be a color like green or blue or brown, they kind of look red, and it's a little terrifying.
Yeah. Deals with Satan will do that.
Oh no. It's probably because he did Cats. That is just like
they punishment. Red.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. Because I had to watch that, and let me tell you, I didn't like it. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand what this, like, there's all these names for cats that's not real words. They don't make any sense.
You say that, but I think Moira would fit in with Cats quite well. I think she'd be quite a good Jellicle cat.
That's what Jellicle cat. The hell is a Jellicle cat?
No,
it's not a thing.
They don't even know. It's just
gibberish. I could have an entire podcast about me ranting about how nonsensical that musical was, that I was forced to watch. And I watched half of one version and half of another. Anyway, I had to watch the Taylor Swift one. Okay. Moving on from that. Yes. So she tries out for the Jazzigals, and they turn out they're really, really good. And now I guess the question comes down to, like, does Jocelyn let anybody into the Jazzigals, or is she, like, making a special exception for Moira because it's Moira?
Well, I mean, it's an audition. You would like to think that they do perhaps 10 people down. But I think that perhaps everyone except for Moira has auditioned with the knowledge that they have some singing capabilities, and thus they wouldn't be rejected. So yeah, when Moira turns up, it's like, oh gosh, how do we actually... I think this is the first time that Jocelyn's actually considered that she might have to turn someone down. And it's Moira, of all people.
It's Moira, yeah. Now, I do have something to share. I'm going to share my screen for anybody who's watching us on YouTube. Because after I listened to Moira's audition, I was like, is this a song? Because Stuart, like, again, I'm not into musical theater. Literally, there was a time, I'm pretty sure on a podcast, where I found out show tunes meant songs from musicals and not TV theme songs, which is what I always thought it meant. And so I was like, is this from a musical I just haven't heard of? So I had to Google Moira's audition for the musical and see if this was real. And there is a post on Reddit that says, does anyone know if Moira's audition song is a real song and what it's called? And no, it's not. It's just her making up something. This is just her, like, scatting.
A lot of
people have asked the same question as me.
It didn't even come to me that this could be something that came from something else. Like, I assumed it was Catherine O'Hara, like, making it up, because it was bonkers. But there was some semblance of kind of, I guess, some structure to it.
Well, because
which is a testament to her, like, ability to improv.
Yeah, like, it was the first line, like, someone help me all night long. So it should have been you. It's just too much.
I can't get over, like, clearly, if that wasn't in the script and she was improvising that, I mean, it's a testament to how good she is as a comedic actress.
Yeah.
As she is able to do that in such a way that it, like, makes people search on the internet and ask questions as to whether or not it's real.
Yes, because she played it so well that there was a moment where it felt like she forgot the words and started scatting, which is why I thought it was from something. It's just 10 out of 10. Moira is incredible. I love that she, like, is offer only, that she's just like, you obviously need me in this. I especially love Stuart when she's at the diner and Twyla is helping out all the ladies, all the Jazzigals in the corner. And Moira's just like, Twyla!
Good. At least she's not chucking, like, bread rolls at Twyla like apparently she was last season. But I love the fact that she is just clearly bothered by the fact that she is not in this kind of ladies who lunch group, which I think is what she was kind of hoping it was first as well. But oh gosh. And then I love the joke as well, is when Twyla offers her the menu and then she, like, makes a reference and goes, yes, please, I'm still not quite off book.
It's like, she needs genius. To rub it in, like, I am in the theater, okay? Like,
I know the lingo. Yeah.
Yes. It's so good. Everything about Moira and the Jazzigals just is too good. And since we're here, because we're already talking about her audition, we have to do, well, we're going to do Wig Watch Early this week. Because this wig, so it's all black. It's like a long bob with bangs, but it's, like, asymmetrical. Like, one side is definitely longer than the other.
I did wonder if it was just on the wonk and that she had done it like so quickly to like get there that
everything
she hadn't even
Moira
noticed.
Does is intentional, I think.
Yeah. Do you know what is the most jarring thing about this though?
What?
I'm pretty sure my mother owns this outfit.
We could, that's not even a read, like that's a compliment because Moira's very stylish.
I mean, my mom's not gonna listen to this, so it's great. It can be a read. Not with the collar. The collar is like a typical Moira embellishment of just some like gaudy bit of jewelry and stuff, but that mm-hmm. with the wig, the giant bag of course, and the sunglasses, like she is going with the mindset of just I'm in the theater.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like people in the theater wear black, so the wig mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense. I hate it, and I think the reason I hate it is probably obvious. It's asymmetrical, and why? Why? Yeah. That would drive me nuts. Have one side longer than the other. It's the reason I could never do the haircuts I really like of like when it's shaved on a portion and then the other side is long. What do you do when you're done with that hairstyle? You shave your whole head, I guess?
Ask some friends of us that have it. I have no idea.
I could never do it. But yeah, this is.
I couldn't deal with the sense of weight on one side.
You'd like, be leaning in one way. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, hair's not that heavy, surely, but maybe.
But you would feel like it. It's like a placebo effect. It's, you know, a mental
maybe.
Thing.
Imagine if you're just always kind of doing it opposite to try and like outweigh it.
I used to do that when I had side bangs. The side bangs always led to people kind of tilting their head and walking around. Yeah. You know,
I feel like I do that all the time. I'm like a dog listening.
Anything else from the episode we should mention before we jump into some feedback here?
Oh, crikey. There was, again, I was really surprised by the actual Jazza girls themselves. Of just the quality. Like, they were sounding really good. The whole, it's raining men, yeah, at the end was just so typical of, like, what I would expect. But what was her name? Lena, was it? I don't think we've seen Lena
in anything before. The woman who sings before, yeah.
Pipes, like, voice on her and stuff. And I can see why she's got the solo. But I love the fact that she was killing it. And Jocelyn's like, nearly there. I'm like, Jocelyn, yeah. You got standards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is why it's so surprising that Moira even is allowed in the Jazza Gals. But
yeah.
She's excited about it. She serenades Johnny to bed, which is also just hilarious.
While wearing a waistcoat and a brooch as well.
Yeah, this is her typical nighttime ensemble. Everyone needs a brooch to go to bed, obviously.
But it's like she was wearing a waistcoat, I'm sure. I was like, what is going on?
She has to be fancy even while she's sleeping.
Oh, bless her.
All right, let's get into some feedback. We heard from Trish, who says, top rate Stevie in this episode, and I love that David still is never quite sure if she's pranking him or not. Is Mutt being a good guy here by building this chest for David, or is he just looking for any excuse to be away from Alexis? Obviously, he's just trying to get away from Alexis.
Yeah. He's trying to get away from Alexis and is using it as an excuse, but he is also doing a good thing. That's not completely...
Sure. But it also feels like he's kind of like, oh, this is something I know and I'm comfortable with. Like, social confrontation? Not for me. Working by myself with wood? Sure, why not? Just saying, getting easy. Trish continues, I chuckled at Moira's comment that she was not quite off book at the cafe. And I have to admire the fact that she's not quite so deluded in her singing prowess to see that Jazza Gal solo as Lena was really good. Yeah, exactly. She has a little bit of self-awareness, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, Johnny shouldn't have sold a car that didn't have a price on it, but Bob should be there on his business. Bob Jog and Wig Watch also noticed, point to note, I had to Google Paul Bunyan. Do you know who Paul Bunyan is, Stuart?
No idea.
You don't know who Paul Bunyan, I mean, it's like very American thing. Hold on, I'm Googling just so that I could be accurate, because he's well known for being like kind of like a lumberjack guy with like flannel.
Yeah, I've seen a thing I referenced in The Simpsons to him. Like, yeah, lumberjack wearing like kind of typical flannel with a blue bull or something.
Yes, yes. So Paul Bunyan is a giant lumberjack and folk hero in American and it's Canadian folklore. So he has like superhuman labors. He's accompanied by Babe the Blue Ox, his pet and working animal. So he's known for being like this big lumberjack guy, basically. Like if you saw a guy wearing flannel who had a beard and was like hot, you're like, oh, that's Paul Bunyan.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah,
that's the gist of it. I don't know.
I'd say it makes sense, but sure.
Yeah, he's like the typical, you know, our friend Sarah always talks about like, but can he chop wood? Like that's her qualification for like, is a guy hot? Can he chop wood? Paul Bunyan is the example.
Well, I imagine Sarah must be on that TikTok of the guy that just constantly is like ripping into these giant logs. Yeah.
Captain America, like pulls the
log ripping apart. Them apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forearms for days.
Yeah. Ashley's question, what would David's self-built box look like? And I don't even know if we can top Trish's answer to this. And she said the same planks that he started with and splinters in his fingers.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate than what I would have said, which was just a shit show. Like, it would be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, that's absolutely so true, because he wouldn't even make progress. It would just be a pile of them with him just nursing splinters.
Exactly. And Ashley said, and he would call it modern art, which is very also accurate. Yeah,
and probably make more money from it than we would in our entire like year of earnings.
Yeah. Do we not remember the woman who breastfed the entire audience at his art gallery? Like, this is the kind of stuff that David would get off on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all our feedback. Again, if you want to send any feedback, you could hit us up on all social media, email us podcast.talkingshit.com. Let's get into our ratings here, Stuart. For Simply the Best, who do you think is the best this episode?
So I always struggle with this, but throughout this episode, I have been trying to lay the groundwork to make this case.
Okay.
I'm gonna.
I know what you're gonna do, and I'm already mad.
I know. I'm gonna give it to Mutt.
You're a monster.
I feel like the guy needs a point at the first opportunity in which he can possibly claim a point. He helped David build a very nice chest. As much as we may like kind of mock it for not having engravings or not being kind of like that great, it's still a very good chest. And he did set a boundary with Alexis that needed to be made. I don't think he went back and lied to her about it. I think that he obviously told Alexis that he'd maybe even been talking to Dave. Actually, no, he probably didn't actually. But still, I'm going to give it to him. He did a nice thing.
It's fine. I'm fine. I'm not giving my point to Mutt because I would never. I'm giving my point to David. For similar reasons in terms of he gets someone to build a chest for him while simultaneously giving good advice. I don't think we can ignore the fact that David does say, you need to talk to Alexis. Like, this is what you need to do. And also, when David thought that Mutt was coming on to him, he was like, I've been here and it's messy and I can't do it. Good boundaries.
Can we get into that? Has he been there with one of Alexis's previously?
That's what it sounds like.
Wild. House of the Dragon style. Wild.
No, if it was House of the Dragons, it would be David and Alexis.
Oh, no, the other way. No. It's on the same kind of suit.
But for Disgruntled Pelican, I'll go first on this one. And I will say I did consider it giving it to Mutt. But he also did some nice things this episode. So I was like, I can't. Like, I don't know if I could justify making him lose a point. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it to Bob, despite the fact that I love the Bob jog. Simply because, like, you can't expect Johnny to work for you. Like, he's not your employee. Like, where are you? Like, get to work, Bob. So I did end up giving it to Bob.
I'm really tired. Bob is one of the people up for it, but Johnny's the other. I think I'm going to lean to Bob. I think that Bob is the worst out of the two for this scenario. But Johnny is getting a free desk and a free workspace out of it. And he's also being given an opportunity that he really isn't taking here. And I guess he does have a choice in the matter, but dude, like, sell some cars. Like,
exactly.
Find out this stuff. Like, make this your empire. Like, Bob will, I guarantee, will want to, like, hand this over and just be, like, a silent partner in the new empire that is, like, Johnny Motors or whatever he may go on to call it. Yeah. But I'm still going to give it to Bob because Bob's a catty bitch when he wants to be.
And I love that about him. Okay. If you don't love that about Bob, what are you doing? You know, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Let's tier rank this episode. As usual, we have our tier ranking up on the screen. We have at the top, hot shit, down to full bouquet. Love that journey for me. Ew, David, and shit out of luck. Do you have any gut reactions to where this should fall?
Certainly a good episode. I don't think it's up there with the last few, if I'm honest. I think this didn't really progress too much in terms of plot. Had some great jokes and some great moments, but again, not full like from the gut belly laughs either. So I would say probably top end of Love That Journey for me, maybe lower end of Full Bouquet.
That's where I was leaning. I was leaning in Love That Journey for me because so much fun. I'm kidding. I do really love this episode, but I agree with you. Like, it's not making me laugh out loud multiple times this episode, but everything is very solid. And for that, I think it's an average good episode. So I think this, yeah. I think this makes sense in Love That Journey for me.
Yeah, completely. Like, I think if you were to compare it to an episode where we had Moira singing previously, doesn't even compare to Danny Boy in terms of the comedic
exactly,
that whole scene.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah. Although I do love her scatting. It's incredible and ridiculous. So yeah, that's where we ranked the episode. So two episodes are in Hot Shit, the first two, and then Love That Journey for me has Jazzy Gals. Stuart, do you want to know what next episode is titled?
Ooh, yeah.
Estate Sale.
Estates? Who's dying?
Estate sale. Like do you have
someone's
estate sales there? Yes.
Yeah,
do you have estate sales in the UK?
We have real, like, estate agents who sell houses.
So an estate sale is basically, like, someone has, like, died or they're, like, getting rid of everything. And they have, like, usually it's very rich people is when you'd call it. Because otherwise you're going to call it a garage sale. So usually it's rich people call it estate sales. It's, like, their entire estate they're selling.
Family member, someone in the town that maybe is on the outskirts who died, maybe they can go find some stuff.
Who knows? We'll see.
I don't have no clue.
But we are going to have a guest. The aforementioned Sarah will be on to talk about this episode. So that should be fun.
It's going to get messy.
It always gets messy when we're on a podcast together. So yeah, probably, most likely. That will be next week. And yeah, in the meantime, you could find us at Talkin' Shit. You could find me also on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, talking about Buffy, talking about Felicity. We're on a little bit of a 1 week off break while Sarah moves, the aforementioned Sarah moves. And yeah, what about you, Stuart? Any got anything else you want to plug? Anything else going on?
Nothing major, just continuing with the Survivor watching for the first time. Looking forward to some new shows coming back. But yeah, if anyone wants to reach out, Stuart Drinks Tea on all the socials.
Incredible. So thank you all for listening. And until next time, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.